Welcome to the weekly Mission Red Bank podcast, helping the body of Christ build itself up together in love.
So this is the last Sunday of this year. Last Sunday of Christmastide. Our Advent journey walked us through the lives of normal folks like us, dealing with everyday life that was absolutely toppled when heaven encountered them. Let's remember it real quickly together, the four sermons that happened through Advent. First, we talked about a priest named Zechariah. He was an old man. His wife had never had any children. He was serving in the Lord's priesthood at a time when for 400 years there was no public new word from the Lord through a prophet than anyone had heard or declared. Nothing to be stated to the people of God. And then one day the angel comes and sees him, and in that moment the news is so good that it was beyond his ability to lay hold of. And he actually chose questioning and doubt over hope. And the angel had to deliver some help to him, made him mute until his son would be born. That was Zechariah. And then we talked about Mary, how the angel came and visited with her, and how amazing it was, the peace that Mary had. Because she was a young girl betrothed to be married. She was a virgin. She was preparing for this next normal step in life, like other young women around her would have been doing, had been doing for generations. And the angel comes and says, you are going to be with child, and you're going to give birth to the Son of God, and you're going to call his name Jesus. She didn't doubt and question. She simply said, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. I don't understand how this works. And the angel told her. And then she said, let it be done to me. I am the Lord's servant. The words that the angel said to her in the culture she lived in would have almost meant certain death. To be found pregnant out of wedlock, law of Moses would have allowed for them to stone her. And she had peace, and she received it. And then that peace was confirmed when she went to see Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, who would be the mother of John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary walks up, John leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and she begins to sing this hymn of praise, prompted by the Holy Spirit. And Mary gets this astonishing confirmation. And two women, in a culture where to call women second class would be an overstatement. Two women on the edge of obscurity, become the first heralds in humanity of the coming of Jesus. Then John is born. Zechariah's tongue is loosed. More confirmation is moving forward. And then Jesus comes. And we celebrated that on Christmas Eve. And we always use the Jesus Storybook Bible to teach that story to our children once again. Because it tells of other lesser thans, marginalized people in the culture. Shepherds, the elderly, women, young people. I don't know if you remember this from the Old Testament, but King David, when Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king for Israel, he said, bring your sons here. And Jesse brought his sons in, except who? David. And where was David? He was tending the sheep in the field. They were the lesser thans. Can't be him. And he was actually the one. These shepherds were in the fields doing what they normally do, and heaven spilled into their world and completely overcame them. Can you imagine what that felt like? It terrified them. Then the angel encouraged them. Then they went and saw, and then they couldn't keep quiet about it. They started telling everyone. Real people living in a real world, doing real stuff, normal, everyday stuff, in the middle of them, not just in the middle of them, but as one of them. That's who God chose to become when he became one of us. Just an average, everyday person. Not pomp, not circumstance, not parades, not on human terms, but heaven itself couldn't contain itself when he came. God seems to have a real tender heart for those who are considered less than. And I honestly think he probably feels this way about everybody, because I think he sees us honestly, and he knows that there's no greater or less than. They're just us. But we read these stories, and it seems that more often than not, he shows up to the marginalized. Why is that? And as I thought about this week, I wondered, is it because that maybe the things that we might call the trappings of life are less encumbering to them? Maybe to them, the things of this world, they don't have as much of it, and so it seems like they have less to lose. So when the good news of Jesus comes, it's really good news. It's not an inconvenience. It's not a challenge to their narcissism as much as it might be to mine. See what I mean? I think it's worth considering as we wrap up Christmas this year and plan to go into 2019. What are the things to which we are committed, or maybe, if I could use this word, devoted, that get in the way of the kind of devotion we see in the shepherds, in Mary and Elizabeth, eventually in Zechariah? What are the things that get in the way of that? Today, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at the lives of two more people who were really touched that first Christmas. And I want to especially note how these two people, they were living lives of devotion to God. They were really, really seeking that. And when the Lord came and was near them, he didn't look like Messiah as anyone would have defined him. But they knew he was there, and they praised the Lord because of it. Let's pray, and then let's look at him. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you in the name of Christ. Amen. Ethan found this great picture. Isn't that amazing? I think Mary and Joseph are the ones on the right. That was funny how it just, the plane tried to come off the ground. And that was really funny. So what happens in our story in what Bill read earlier? Joseph and Mary have brought Jesus to the temple for purification. According to the book of Leviticus, whenever a firstborn son opens the womb, as it's written, is born into the world, there's a week where the woman waits so that the blood of the birth won't make her unclean to touch anything. And then they have another number of days that they prepare for the child. All in all, it comes to about 40 days. So Jesus is probably about 40 days old here. And then they come to the temple, and they come with offerings. And typically the offering would be a lamb and then a dove or a pigeon. One offering was a burnt offering. The other was an offering for sins, a sin offering that they would bring for cleansing, okay? But there's a provision made in the books of Moses, in Leviticus, and it says, if you can't afford a lamb, then bring two pigeons or two dove, okay? Well, it explicitly says here that when they came, they had two doves. What does that tell you about Joseph and Mary? They were poor. They didn't have as much as would have been the typical offering. So they come, poor parents with a little child, and they encounter a man named Simeon. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then very much, we're reading from the Gospel of Luke. You're going to hear about the Holy Spirit a ton in Luke and Acts, because Luke wrote both of these, and he comes after much of what's gone down, much of what the other apostles have experienced and written. So he's gathering eyewitness accounts, and he's sensing and experiencing and proclaiming the work of the Spirit. Listen to what he says. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. That's bam, 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 right in a row. Anytime the Bible lays that down for you, pay attention. The authors are trying to point to something important. Trying to point that this astonishing thing, that there was a man, even though for 400 years no prophet had been raised up to speak corporately to the people of God beyond what had already been said in the Old Testament up through the prophet Malachi, intimately, kindly, personally, God spoke to this man, and he said, you're not going to die until you see my Messiah. And we've talked a number of times about what that would have meant to a first century Jew, especially under Roman oppression. What would they have been looking for? A political figure. Somebody that's probably about 30 years old, ready to pull out a sword and 10,000 conquering people to come and throw Rome down and maybe pull the Ark of the Covenant out like Raiders of the Lost Ark and zap everything. I mean, they were looking for something big to happen. But he's at the temple because the Spirit said, go. And when Joseph and Mary walk up with the dove, because they were poor, and the little baby, he goes, there. Think about that. And he begins to say to the Lord, I can now die in peace. I have seen your Messiah. That's crazy talk outside of a whisper from the Spirit of God, helping him discern and then be devoted to what God is doing. And then he blesses the child, and he blesses Mary, and looks at them, and Joseph, and looks at them and said, behold, this child is appointed for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And then he looks at Mary and he says something really hard. He says, and a sword's going to pierce your heart with this. I don't know that he knew all of what he was saying, but I think we do. I think he was speaking to the fact that Mary was going to have to suffer the death of her son for the sake of all. So it was the stunning blessing wed to really hard stuff. Again, God in our midst of the real stuff of humanity, our real need for a Savior, calling for one who would die for us. And then Anna, that beautiful lady on the left, who had been married at a young age, probably around 13 to 16 years old, lived with her husband for 7 years, so probably till she was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 23 years old. And then he died. Hard stuff of life. She never remarried. She remained a widow, and she lived at church, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord. Says she was a prophetess. Said that she could discern the things of the Lord there. And she was 84 years old, which meant she had been there about 60 years. You ever wait for anything for 60 years besides your 60th birthday? She did. And she began, when this happened with Simeon, to declare it and to go around and to tell people. Her life is this unbelievable picture, I think, of the sufficiency of God. The things of the world would say, find a husband, find children, have all these kinds of things. But instead, she gives her life to following God. And when he shows up in a way unanticipated, she sees him. She sees, and she doesn't think Simeon's crazy. And she connects to what's going on. She also provides, Jesse, this is just something I noted in here that I hadn't read before. In Moses' law, things are declared true by testimony of how many witnesses? Two or three. Wasn't enough that Simeon said that. Anna stepped up and said it too. And there was the testimony. God has this tender place in his heart for those considered a bit less than. You know, in Advent and in the story today, the only one of these characters who struggled with what was going on, evidenced by what the Bible tells us, was someone just like me. A priest. Everybody else received it quickly. Mary had a question, how can this be? Because she knew enough biology to know, I don't know how this is going to work. How's it going to work? But the guy who probably knew more than anyone else there, had more education, had more notoriety, he's the one that struggled and needed a running start. What about us? You know, we're absolutely the richest people who've ever lived at any time in human history. And Jesus would go on to say in his earthly ministry that it's really hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? I think it's because the trappings of the world around us, the beautiful things in life, the blessings in life, the good things in life often become trappings when they're not meant to be. They're meant to be ways of encouraging us to receive and give God's grace. But instead, they become a bit of our focus and sometimes even our devotion. I wish you could have seen your children when I told the story Christmas Eve, and I said, and the angels came, and I literally heard one of the children go, ah! I mean, it happened. And they were looking at me. You know why? Because they haven't lived long enough yet to think this is a fairy tale. Or even if you believe it's otherwise, we kind of treat it like one till we get sick or something rough comes up. I think Anna and Simeon help us look at people in everyday lives. I think the shepherds help us. I think Mary and Elizabeth, two women, literally in an obscure place in history. Why do we know about these two women? But we do. And they were the first heralds in humanity to just lift their voices to the Lord and praise him for what he was going to do. I think God has a tender place for all of us because he recognizes that no one of us is any better than another and that we need to receive Christ just like them. So as we get ready, I want to invite you to finish Christmastide. Through the rest of this week. I'm not saying do the American, max out your credit card and go buy a bunch of gifts that people are going to re-gift anyway. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying think of the season. Think of what it actually means and remember it. The church, a long time ago, decided to put these rhythms in place so that we would slow down and remember again. Just like they'll put Lent in place and we'll slow down and have a season of confession and repentance before we come to the cross and to the resurrection. Don't be typical Westerners anymore. Be followers of the babe whose birth we just celebrated. The King, recognizable to those who are looking for him. Be those people. So I want to take a time of prayer. We're going to come to the Lord's table where, in a sense, we celebrate Christmas and Easter in some way every single week. The incarnation of him and his presence with us. The death and the resurrection and the nourishment that gives us. Before we come to his table, I want you to just pause and I want you to pray and just ask the Lord, what are the things to which I'm devoted? What's one to which I'm devoted? Is it being clever? Is it being pretty or handsome? Is it being capable? Those aren't bad things. He just wouldn't have us be devoted by something that shallow. What is it for me, Lord? And help me be over it. Help me this year, in 1 year from now, help me be less devoted to that and more devoted to you. And continuing in that way here forward. Can we do that together? Let's take a time. Let's be quiet before the Lord, and then we'll come to his table.
You've been listening to the Mission Red Bank podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Mission Red Bank or have questions about what you've heard today, you'll find us on Facebook. Grace and peace to you, and may God's blessings surround you.